Good evening, church family. This is Wednesday, April the 22nd, our midweek connection, Time in the Word. And similar to last week, I have placed some notes. I'll embed some notes in this, this video that'll help you to follow along. And I encourage you in the things of the Lord. I hope that you'll take some time to watch this. Follow along in your Bibles and to just enter your thoughts or allow the Word of God to direct and to sharpen your thoughts here this evening. I've previously on these Wednesday nights, I've shared with you how the COVID-19 pandemic and its what would be the word, and its results and its consequences, the reactions to it. I believe it's best to view it as a trial. The reason I gave you is that when I view it as a trial, then it immediately connects me with things in the Word of God. The Word of God does not give me information about COVID-19. But it does give me lots of information and instruction regarding trials. And so make that connection and make that all the time. That this is not just a government matter or a worldwide health matter. It is a trial for us as believers. And God has instructions for how we go through a trial. Those trials I shared with you, I believe, the last time, and how they produce a hopefulness in me because God works through trials. He does things in me. If I will allow Him to do that, He will shape me, and I can come out at the end of the trial better and changed because I went through that trial. And I shared with you several scriptures in regards to that. But tonight, what I want to do is give you four statements that Jesus makes in times of trial, tribulation, suffering, hardship, and difficulty. All right, so those four statements, these are given to us not in direct statements from Christ that are in direct words that we would find in the New Testament, but I think it's a summary, it's a compilation of the idea of how Christ works and wants us to come to Him during the time of trial. And you'll see as I put up on the screen that when the pressures and the stresses and the just all of the news and the matters begin to weigh on us and direct our spirit in a particular direction, I think what we want to do is hear the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say unto us. And the first thing that I share with you is, let me give you all four things. First of all, I think Jesus, in times of trial, hardship, difficulty, says unto us, I want you to look at me. That's what we'll talk about tonight. I want you to look at me. Secondly, I want you to flee to me. Right? There's some things I want to share with you from the scripture about fleeing to Christ. And then thirdly, the idea of I want you to trust me. The question that we'll talk about is, where is your trust? And then finally, I think I want you to learn from me. Jesus says, I want you to learn from me. Of course, that we've already touched on and what he does through trials. But I think if we hear these four things years ago, I don't even know where I got this idea from. I actually preached decades ago, preached a series of messages on these topics, but it's always stuck with me, those four things. I want you to look at me. I want you to flee to me. I want you to trust me, and I want you to learn from me. And so we'll look at those matters, that first one here this evening. I want you to look at me. The words of Jesus, I think that ought to fill our minds in times of hardship and trial, tribulation, difficulty, whatever. I want you to look at me. If you take your Bibles, and if you want to have it open, I'm going to put the text on the screen, but it'll help you to refer to it in your Bible. That's always a good thing. That way you can go back to it over and over again without having to watch it on a screen. But the Gospel of Luke and chapter 10, and we're going to go to a section where it'll be familiar to you, Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, I'll begin actually in verse 40 to show you the part that I want to draw your attention to. You may recall teaching on this in the busyness of holidays, you know, and there's a busyness about Martha as she's preparing a meal for Christ. Mary, of course, is sitting at his feet. Excuse me. But what we read here are these words in Luke chapter 10 and verses 40 through 42. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. If you'll note these matters in that text there, here's what I want you to see. There's things about serving. There's things about what Mary is doing. That's there. Don't discount that. Think about that. But notice this, that even though Jesus was right there within sight and close enough to talk with, Martha was aware of his presence, but was not focused on him. She was focused on other things, her serving, herself, her sister, however you want to look at it, but she was not focused on Jesus. He was right there, most likely the one-room house. He was right across the room. There's this conversation that goes on between the two. Not like our homes where you might have to walk into another room or whatever. This would have been very close proximity. Jesus was there present, but Martha, even though he was present, listen to what it says, and I've listed this on your screen. She was cumbered about, meant her mind was pulled in different directions. She was distracted. She was careful, anxious, a fretful spirit, a worrisome spirit. I mean, she was riled on the inside. And she was troubled. The word troubled is an uproar, turbulent, a noisy spirit. That would probably be more the idea of riled rather than worried. But so Jesus was right there present, but she was not focused on him, and her spirit was in turmoil. Her spirit was in a particular way. And Jesus, in a mild rebuke, says to her that Mary chose the one needful thing, who is far different, sitting at the feet of Jesus. So if you consider that even though Jesus was right there, and Martha could see him being right there, that's the way I picture the historic context of this conversation. But this look that Jesus says, so if he says, Martha, look at me in with your spirit all riled up, look at me. Once again, not the words of the text, but I think putting in the context of this teaching tonight, this was the something that Jesus says to you, look at me. And when I put that together, my thought is that even though Jesus is present right there with us, we may not be focusing on him. So what I'm this look that Jesus calls us to is more than just realizing that he's there. Let me give you two illustrations. The first one, it may not make sense to you at all, but it's something I'm very well aware of. My wife would tell you she's aware of as well. But I can spend all Sunday looking at you as a congregation, looking at me, or whatever. And the idea is that I know you are there, but I may not, before or after, engage you in conversation, even though I know you are there. And I think the distinction is this, is that we can know Jesus is present with us. That's a knowledge. We ought to know that. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have scriptural evidence that he is right there with us. Even the thought that he lives inside of me, he indwells me. And you say, my walk is with Christ. Even though he's present with me, I may not be focused or engaged with him, right? He might be right there, but I'm not really looking at him the way he says, "Look at me." The second illustration is sort of a conflation of probably memories I have or things that have happened, although no particular illustration came to my mind. I think this is what has happened at times, especially when our children were younger. Let's say, as a parent, you have a child who is so distraught or upset or angry and is all riled up on the inside. You, as a parent, might be right there in the room with them, but I seem to remember at times taking the child and sometimes almost placing my hands gently across the side of their faces and saying, directing them toward me and saying, "Look at me. Look at me." In other words, I'm present there, but I want them to concentrate, to focus only on my words, only on my face, in a sense, only on me. And try to minister to them, try to serve them, try to help them by putting their focus on the right things. Now, you may have a similar idea, may have similar occasions and what you were doing, but I have that mental picture in my mind. So with that in mind, I think Jesus does call us in times of trial, tribulation, hardship, difficulties. He calls us to look at him. Look at me, he says. And he may metaphorically, gently direct us, look at me, and call us to look at him. More about how we do what that happens in just a few moments, but let me share with you some scripture. The first one from Psalm 46. And so I'll give this to you on the screen. But if you want to look at your Bibles, here's what I think we're going to see is that looking at Christ calms me, calms us. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 say, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. So verses 1 and 2 kind of set the scene. They're illustrations, they're metaphors, they're hyperbole in a sense. But you get the idea that Christ is a very present help in trouble. His presence is there. And there's the idea of fear. There's circumstances that can cause fear. There's the idea, verse 3, of roaring and trouble, mountains shaking. All of these are things that can tend to rile us up on the inside. I don't think they are necessarily physical things, although there's something that's there that's causing me in the inside to be like that. But then if you drop down to verse 10, it gives you, I think there's things in between, but there's, I think here's that look at me moment in this Old Testament psalm where Jesus, where the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. I think this look at Jesus calms us. Even though all of these things that are happening on the outside may still be there and may still, have the potential to trouble and to cause my spirit to roar and to be noisy, that looking at Christ can calm me and give me the right perspective. I think that's the thing that Christ wants me to do. There's another passage most familiar to you, probably that last one probably is, this one as well, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, we find these words, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I believe looking at Christ quiets us, right? And but there's some things here. I take that from the idea of peace, peace and quiet. I know you play with words, you play with ideas, but if you look at the verse, the prophet gives us this almost a song, a statement. He says, if we will stay our minds on God, I'm referencing Christ. If we will stay our minds on him, then he will keep me in perfect peace. I think that's Philippians chapter 4. It talks about praying. When I pray, with thanksgiving, I put my mind on Christ, and the peace which passes all understanding shall guard my spirit. And you see that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. But there's this idea of staying my mind on Christ. So look at me, but keep looking at me, because it will keep me calm. It'll keep me quiet on the inside. The word stayed there, you see on your screen, means steadfast. My mind does not move off or onto something else. I keep my focus on Christ. I think that's the idea. If I want you to look at me, keep looking at me. Keep your focus on me is what Christ says to us in the time of trial. Then if you go to Acts, this is the New Testament, the book of Acts, in chapter 23, I think there's a third thing that looking at Christ does. I've just put it in these words. It strengthens us in the face of difficulty. It strengthens me. If I will, it does things on the inside. It helps me to stand. I could use the word comfort. That would be fine. But it strengthens my spirit. If I will put my mind on Christ, I will look at him. Acts chapter 23 is one of two examples I'm going to give you. The Apostle Paul is arrested, placed in prison. There's an uproar that takes place around him and his words. And we find in Acts chapter 23, verse 10, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. I do believe that this is a special revelation of Jesus Christ, a literal presence of the resurrected Christ there with Paul. I think the wording is such that that's what it demands. There are words that are coming, revelation that's coming to Paul. But I want you to see that this presence of Christ and hearing his words, listening to him, produced a sense of comfort, of strength for the Apostle Paul in a very difficult and troublesome situation. The second is very similar to that, although much later, it's right at the end of the Apostle Paul's life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 16 and 17. This is the Apostle Paul referencing in his last writings to Timothy, to anybody, before he is executed there in Rome. He says these words in verse 16, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Just note that highlighted portion. The Lord stood with me. We don't know. The language is such. It could be a metaphor, because he uses a metaphor at the end about being delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Could be a revelation like in Acts chapter 23, an actual presence of the resurrected Christ in special form. But the idea is this, is the Lord stood by him in this very difficult time, in his trial before the Roman authorities, and that strengthened him to know that presence of Christ. But I don't think it's just the presence of Christ. It's the words that Christ brings. There's a sense that I think it fits with the words of Christ saying to us in times of trial, look at me. And not just know that he's there, but to put our focus and our concentration on him, to stay our minds on him, and to allow him with his words and with his comfort to strengthen us in the midst of the trial. On your sheet, this is by way of application, or on the screen is going to come, just entitled Looking, and giving you some thoughts on that. But if you look to the left, on the left-hand side, here's the way I put this together in the midst of the COVID-19 life that we are in, with all of the restrictions, difficulties, however it's impacted you as a family, you as a person, us as a church, in the midst of COVID-19 life, with its fears, losses, changes, uncertain look, hardships, I think we need to hear the words of Jesus saying, look at me. And then keep our look stayed upon him. How do we do that? What things come to mind? Because remember, we can know he's present. That's one thing. We can have that theological certainty that he is right there with me. But I think we have to look at him. We have to place our gaze upon him. And so here's how I believe that happens. I think we recall and meditate on the truths that we already know about Christ. Put your mind in the word. the true revelation on who God is, what he has done, what he has promised. The idea of recalling that is bringing, you may not have the word present, but I think we can search the word and find out who he's like, what he's done. You know, keep intaking the word into our lives. But then take the word that we already know and bring it back into our mind. Think about who he is. Can you name some attributes, some characteristics of Christ? Bring that into your mind. What he has done. Think about all that he's done. And then think about what he promises to do for our future. We bring that into our thoughts. We enter into his word to remind us to think about it even further. I think that's how we look at him in our day. Let me just challenge you. Don't meditate on imagined things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us to think on certain things. And the idea is whatsoever things are true. Now you say, well, I know what's true or I know what's not true. It's think on what's not just imagined things or not just what we think is true. But truth is what God says. Truth is found in his word. So put your mind not on speculation, not on imagination. Put your mind on God's word. I think that's going to help us in doing that. And then you'll see on the screen that I think what we need to do is deliberately move or shift our focus off of certain things. In other words, if Jesus says, look at me, and I'm not to be distracted, I'm not to be all riled up, I'm going to have to take my mind off of other things and put it on Christ and his word. I'm going to have to look at him. I suggest several things, and you can fill it out in your remembrance of both scripture and teachings that you have received. But I think we need to take our mind off of self. Often discouragement, depression, often anxiety come as we think about ourselves. I think Martha was thinking about herself. She was cumbered about much serving, what she was doing, what she thought needed to be done. I think we take our minds off of ourselves and put it on Christ. I think we take our minds off of what others are doing. I think there's great interest that we have in what others are doing. But let me tell you, there's no consensus. Others are doing all sorts of things. And you say, well, how do I discern that? I think take your mind off of what others are doing and hear the words of Christ. Look at me. Look at what I want for you. Look at me. And then the last one, I want you to think on this. I think we need to, when we hear the words of Christ, look at me. I think we need to take our minds off of the news and the information that so readily consumes our thoughts. At some point we have to shift the focus off of all of this information that's coming our way, all the reports, all of even the arguments, and all of the differences that are happening, and we have to shift that focus and put it on Christ. Put my mind on who he is, what he has done, and what he says. Allow that to calm me. Allow that to strengthen me. Allow that to quiet me in my thinking. I think we have to do that. And then to keep our minds stayed upon Christ. That's at Isaiah chapter 26. It means steadfast on him. Don't turn back. What would be the word? How insufficient it would be for me to put my mind on Christ for a few minutes each day and then to fill my mind with news and information from all sorts of different sources, to fill my mind with what other people are doing, to fill my mind with how it's affecting me, what's happening with me. I think there's some of that that's probably necessary, that we want to be do that. But let me just challenge you. Here's the words of Jesus saying, look at me. When I think of all the news and information, one thing that I think when it comes to just listening and reading is I think, all right, how does this affect my spirit? How does this information, how does this news account affect my spirit? And I think I want my spirit to be controlled by my look at Christ. I want him to be supreme, preeminent in my mind. I want to keep my mind during these difficult times on Christ. Let's hear the words of Jesus saying to us, look at me. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that you'd call loudly to us. Help us to hear that knocking. Lord, help us to recognize a noisy, turbulent, roaring spirit within us. Help us to recognize any fears that we have, any anxieties that are there. And then clearly help us to hear your voice. Look at me. And I pray this evening in the name of Jesus. Amen.